Hello, this is Eileen, and I will be reading from the News Gazette for Monday, May 15th, 2017. I'll begin with an article from Saturday, May 2017, the month of Helene. A long, long time ago, during the Ice Age, when I was a child attending St. Domitilla School in Hillside, Illinois, May was the month of the Mother of God. The obedient Catholic kids in the neighborhood would buy up all the pink and blue crepe paper within a 5-mile radius, cut any flowers and dandelions they could find, put them in Mom's jelly jar, and create what was generously called a May altar to Mary because May was the month of Mary. Even the biggest 8th-grade bully had to make a May altar for his family's home, or his mom would grab him by the ear and show him some maternal guidance. I don't mean to be sacrilegious to Sister Josita, Sister Aloysius, and the others who taught us penmanship, sentence diagramming, Christian doctrine, and many other things, but things are a bit different this year. This May also is the month of Helene. Helene is my spousal partner, the mother of 3 children, grandmother of 6, dispenser of humor, machine-like driver of golf balls, and watcher of all TV detective shows, especially the darkest ones. And she will never again have a month like this one. A bellwether birthday, Mother's Day, a wedding anniversary, and retirement from a lengthy career teaching high school students, mostly in Springfield and Rantoul. Her career is so lengthy that it began in the 1970s when people talked openly about impeaching the President of the United States. She taught subjects that no longer existed: shorthand, record keeping, and typing, a sort of manual labor that involved pushing down on a keyboard with all of your digits, not just your thumbs. There were rollers and bells going off and pieces of paper inserted into a loud, heavy machine that had no power source. It was loud, chaotic, strenuous work of men, usually left to women, except for newspaper reporters, another group that is nearly extinct today. In order to teach most of these subjects, students were required to have things called books, which were bulky products made of wood fibers and were best used for hitting other students, swatting bees, or warding off spitballs. Sometimes students had to carry several of these books, which could lead to the development of muscles, or fights when someone would casually knock several books out of your arms. Helene Kasich, who would not be described as large or muscular, used to delight in recounting tales of fights in the corridors, first at Lanphier High School in Springfield, and later on at other institutions of learning. Either kids don't fight anymore, or she stopped being amused by it. But she is still delighted by most of her students. She likes to brag about where this year's seniors are headed, or the successful seniors of the past who have become lawyers, robotic designers, sheriff's deputies, village administrators, and teachers. And there's almost always something amusing, and usually harmless, going on at the high schools, such as the time graduating seniors snuck into the school and released a half a dozen chickens into the hallways, or freshmen who get lost in the maze of classrooms. She still loves teaching, but she's also looking forward to retirement and spending more time with grandkids, friends, golf, and other pursuits. She's earned it after years of lesson plans, grading papers, sitting through meetings, hearing from unhappy parents, and more worrisome, not hearing from other parents. Congratulations, Helene Kasich, and on a career where you helped make a difference. Party on. And happy Mother's Day to my wife and all the moms who clean diapers, kiss boo-boos, blow noses, Make sure hands are washed and teeth are brushed. Keep up on doctor's visits and vaccinations. Make meals, pack lunches, review multiplication tables, read bedtime stories. Serve as room mothers and den mothers and coaches. Play catch and counsel, correct, cry, and care for the kids for years and years. The next article, RV fire leaves man with severe burns in Urbana. Victim taken to hospital in Springfield. A man staying in a recreational vehicle in Urbana was taken to Springfield Hospital for severe burns following an early morning fire Saturday. Firefighters were called to the intersection of East Green and Anderson Street, about four blocks east of Vine Street, at 4:23 a.m., where they could see the RV fully engulfed in flames. When they arrived, an Urbana police officer was dragging the 49-year-old burn victim away from the RV. Pro-ambulance employees and some firefighters tended to the victim while other firefighters quickly doused out the RV fire. An Urbana police report said the victim told officers that he had been sleeping in the RV, which was parked on Anderson just north of Green, and awoke cold. He tried to start the propane heater, but it would not come on. Fire Chief Brian Neitlinger said the man was filling a small propane tank from a larger one and needed light to see what he was doing. He lit a candle, and that caused the inside of the RV to burst into flames, burning his arm and hands. The police report said he didn't remember anything after that. Neighbors for several blocks reported hearing several small explosions, which were apparently propane tanks inside the vehicle blowing up, the report said. Neitlinger said the RV was destroyed and the pickup truck behind it was heavily damaged by fire. The RV was owned by a Champaign man who told fire officials that the man was paying him rent to live in it. The tenant had apparently been moving it around town. Neighbors told firefighters it had been at this location about 3 days, Neitlinger said. After being taken to Carl Foundation Hospital, the man was transferred to the burn unit of a Springfield hospital. No firefighters were hurt. They remained at the scene for about 2 hours investigating. The next article, from Macon County Sheriff's Office, Buffett's son to fund new car and equipment, in Decatur. A cash-strapped Illinois Sheriff's Department is getting new police vehicles and equipment thanks to a donation from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. The Decatur Herald and Review reports the donations to the Macon County Sheriff's Office is roughly $355,000. Decatur resident Howard Buffett is the son of billionaire Warren Buffett. He's served as an auxiliary deputy for the Sheriff's Office since 2012. Sheriff Thomas Schneider says Buffett approached the department recently and said he'd buy the new vehicles and equipment. Schneider said Buffett wanted to save taxpayer money and ensure officers have proper equipment. He says the department has been spending heavily in the recent months to make repairs to its aging fleet. A law enforcement safety tax was recently approved to help cover expenses, but funds aren't available yet. The next article, the health report is in. Each week, longtime health reporter Deb Pressey answers questions on our website. The question is, it seems like there's never used to be all the skin cancer we're seeing these days. Is there just more of it? Where is it all coming from? The answer? There absolutely is more skin cancer than there used to be. And some of it has to do with our lifestyles, according to dermatologist Dr. Elizabeth Small. Check out these statistics. 1 in 5 million Americans will develop skin cancer sometime in their lives, she said. Between 40 and 50% of everyone in the U.S. living to the age of 65 will develop either basal cell or squamous cell non-melanoma carcinoma at least once, according to the Skin Cancer Foundation. That organization projects 87,110 new cases of invasive melanoma, the most deadly kind of skin cancer in the U.S. this year. Small said there's more skin cancer partly because of more recreational time and people wearing scantier clothing than they used to. There are also such factors as indoor tanning, an aging population, older people are more at risk for melanoma, and more exposure to harmful radiation from the sun due to ozone depletion, she said. Small, who formerly practiced at the Promise Healthcare and now lives in Texas, was in Champaign last Saturday doing free skin cancer screenings to eligible patients at Francis Nelson Health Center. She advises a baseline skin exam for all adults at age 40. And for those patients who are at higher risk for skin cancer, remember one simple thing, she urged. Every year, on your birthday, see your dermatologist for a thorough skin check in your birthday suit. Some factors that increase the risk are having lighter skin color, skin that freckles and burns easily, red or blonde hair, blue or green eyes, certain types and a large number of moles, a history of sunburns, especially early in life, a history of indoor tanning, and a personal or family history of skin cancer. Be on the lookout for new or changing moles, Small said. Most people get all the moles they're ever going to get by the age of 30, Small said. After that, any new mole they get is potentially suspect. To help spot possible melanoma, you can remember five words that begin with the first five letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E. They are the warning signs for malignancy in moles: asymmetry, border, color, diameter, and evolving. The American Academy of Dermatology has pictures of what to look for under melanoma symptoms at aad.org. You've likely heard many times the best way to protect yourself from skin cancer is to wear protective clothing, seek out shade when you're outdoors between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., and wear broad-spectrum sunscreen with an SPF of 30 or higher. Small strongly advises adding a hat with a brim to your outdoor clothing. And, she said, baseball caps are worthless for protecting your neck from the sun. Two more things she likes folks to keep in mind. People with more than 50 moles are at an increase for melanoma, she said. You need to be very, very careful in the sun. And consider a study published last year in the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology. It found ultraviolet light from the sun can bounce off smartphones and other screen devices, increasing individual UV dosage and the risk of long-term negative impacts to the skin. Here's some local and state news. Memorial Hall of Iris Chang, a late Urbana native, was honored in China. A hall in China now memorializes the Urbana native who wrote a bestseller about Japanese atrocities there. The Memorial Hall of Iris Chang, author of The Rape of Nanking, is in her family's ancestral home in eastern China's Jiangsu province. The hall is divided into six sections covering the life of the late author. It is the world's second memorial hall to mark the massacre. Iris Chang was born in the United States in 1968, the daughter of two University of Illinois professors. Her second book, The First Decades About the Massacre, was published in 1997 and was on the New York Times bestseller list for 10 weeks. Stressed by the reaction to the book and her efforts on the new one, she committed suicide in 2004. Her mother praised the recognition for her daughter's work. The Memorial Hall is housed in a magnificent and elegant building which was modeled on the style of the ancient Han Dynasty, says Mrs. Chung, an emerita professor of microbiology. It took 2 years to finish the interior design and installation. The professor is herself the author of The Women Who Could Not Forget, Iris Chang Before and Beyond the Rape of Nanking. The next article in Fisher, the water system sale, still a possibility. Selling the water and wastewater treatment system to a private company is not a dead issue after all. After yet another executive session to consider two submitted proposals, one by Aqua, the other by Illinois American, the village board indicated by a straw poll of 5-1 that it intends to proceed with negotiations with one of the companies. It will meet in a special session Monday when the board may approve an agreement with Gerald Hartman for consulting services. He would lead the board during the negotiation period with the chosen company. The board has added two new members since late last month when it took no action on the matter, with outgoing Mayor Milt Kelly announcing then that the issue is more dead than alive. But new Mayor Mike Baylor said trustees who were wavering were convinced by others that Fisher would not undertake the some $7 million in updates in the next few years. Fisher could undertake the $7 million updates. Baylor said after the meeting, he, like Kelly, has always been in favor of the sale. Trustee Roger Ponton cast the only no vote to proceed in the straw poll. The board raised water and sewer rates by 50% last month, and further increases will come the next 2 years as well if the village keeps the system. In Gifford, Main Street to close for festivities. The owners of the North 40 and the homestead asked village board members to close Main Street on the annual Gifford Community Celebration date set for June 24th. The bars plan to host an evening with live music and festivities coinciding with the festival day. County approval of the closure was contingent on the village's agreement. To make things easier for the village, the bars have hired their own security for the evening and will hold their own liability insurance. The closure would last until 2 a.m. with alcohol service ending at midnight. No one from the Community Celebrations Planning Committee was present at the meeting, and the village trustees were wary of approving the closure without word from the committee. After much discussion, the village board approved closing the street as long as the celebration committee was in agreement. Next, pop-up pantries for veterans set. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank will begin holding pop-up food pantries in Urbana and Danville for eligible veterans. These single-day mobile food distributions are being made possible by a grant from the Yahoo Employee Foundation. About 8,000 pounds of food, such as pantry staples, produce, bread, and bakery items, will be shared with 100 to 150 veterans' households, according to the food bank. The first distribution in Urbana will be from 10 o'clock to 11:30 a.m. at VFW Post 630 at 1303 East Main Street on June 27th, with others on the fourth Tuesday of the month through October. In Danville, the first food pantry will be from 10 to 11:30 a.m. June 13th at the Chapel of Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System at 1900 East Main Street, with others following the second Tuesday of the month through October. The program is open to any veteran or currently connected military service member who meets income eligibility guidelines. Veterans must show proof of status. The next article, mulching matters. Doing it the proper way can save plants and money. Two Fridays ago was Arbor Day, and I was working with a local committee to help celebrate by planting a tree. Of course, one of the important parts of planting a tree is making sure to mulch the tree after planting. With the gardening season really winding up, I figured it was worth it to visit proper mulching and the benefits it provides. With proper mulching, you can save plants while saving money. I think most people like saving money. I bring this up because recently I spoke with someone who had seen many poor mulching jobs that used so much mulch that they ended up costing money. Mulching could potentially cost more money when you have an excessive amount of mulch surrounding your tree, also known as volcano mulching, compared to what it would cost to properly mulch. This cost rises because of the cost for all the extra mulch, as well as the potential expense to the plant health. Proper mulching provides numerous benefits to plants, especially trees. Some of the benefits include moderating soil temperatures, helping to maintain moisture, breaking down and adding organic matter over time, reducing soil compaction, reducing soil erosion, helping to reduce weeds, preventing mechanical damage from mowers and weed whips. To gain all the benefits of mulching, it is critical that you utilize organic-based mulches such as cypress, shredded hardwood, or cedar. I often tell people to avoid rock and rubber mulches, as they will not provide the benefits found in the list above. Rock mulch accumulates heat, and as such is unable to provide the soil temperature moderation that you gain from organic-based mulches. The other part of mulching equation is making sure to properly mulch. Mulch should be 2 to 4 inches deep and kept away from the crowns or trunks of plants. Mulch placed up against plants can cause health issues such as rot by holding moisture against the plant. It can also make it easy for voles to access tree trunks by burrowing through the mulch. People often ask me how big the mulch ring should be, which usually results in an impish grin from me. What often follows is me saying something similar to, out of the drip line if possible, which is usually followed by shocked looks. I then tell people that at minimum, you want a 1 to 2 foot mulch circle around a tree for maximum benefit. When planting a garden, a good rule of thumb is to mulch after planting over your tilled soil and between plants. Remember to taper the mulch depth gradually as it nears the plants, and not to form a volcano mulch pile by mounding a heavier layer over the base of the plants. Since your mulch will decompose over time, adding beneficial organic material back into the soil, you will want to replace it as necessary. Choose an organic mulch that is aesthetically pleasing, readily available, and affordable. Even though over time your organic mulch will break down and need to be replaced, the benefits it will provide your garden is well worth the investment. Next article, the risk and reward of buying annuities. My mom is 97 and 8 months. As with infants, every month is a big deal at her age. Apart from the pads of her feet hurting when she walks due to the loss of fatty tissue, she's in good shape, including mentally, I figure she'll make it to beyond 100, knock on wood. 8 years ago, when she was 89, I had a hard time convincing my siblings she'd prevail this long. They were sure she wouldn't make it past 93. Our difference of opinion arose in the context of my telling them I wanted to use some assets we'd set aside for Mom to buy an annuity on her life. In its simplest form, an annuity is a stream of payments that continues until you die. But there are many different types of annuities, some of which are annuities in name only. The key thing about real annuity is that it provides insurance against perhaps your greatest financial risk, continuing to live. Financially speaking, this is what I was worried about with Mom. As I explained to my brother and sister, buying her an annuity would help protect us financially for extra bills that would arrive if she continued to live. I calculate that if we didn't buy the annuity, her assets would last just 5 years. With the annuity, particularly the inflation-indexed annuity, sold by the principal financial group that I was considering, the money would continue no matter how long she lived. But she could die tomorrow and we'd lose all that money, my sibs correctly pointed out. Yes, I said, and if you pay premiums for homeowners insurance and suffer no loss, you also lose it all. In all cases of insurance, we give up money in good times to get money in bad times. We either dead or we're alive. Big mistake, they continued. No way she will live beyond 93. Now, mind you, my siblings are highly educated. My brother is the provost of Cornell. My sister, who has run major U.S. companies, now works for my personal financial planning software company. But neither could wrap their brains around Mom's longevity risk. Also, they were implicitly suggesting that the three of us provide Mom with insurance. We'd cover her costs if she lived beyond 5 years. In exchange, we could pocket any of our Mom-dedicated funds were she to die early. Don't turn your parents or kids into your insurance company. It's too risky for them and too risky for you. In Mom's case, my sibs and I would have made a big financial mistake if we did not purchase an annuity, which I insisted we do. When I called principal, they too thought I was nuts. They had never sold an annuity, let alone a full inflation index annuity, to anyone over 85. They'd have to do a special pricing calculation. After a couple of weeks, the price was right. And every year since, as the price rises, the annuity rises by the same percentage. Mom's costing us about $125,000 per year, what with the AIDS and out-of-pocket health care expenses. But that annuity is covering about two-fifths of this expense. Of course, the best part is being able to tell my siblings, I told you so. Of course, they could have been right. But insuring against longevity is always a smart move, as the financial downside risk, Mom lives to 110, is always financially more dangerous than the financial upside risk, Mom dies young. If you do buy any annuities, shop around and buy the simplest, fully inflation index policies. You could live a long time and prices could rise tremendously along the way. You don't want to be opening a check each month that can purchase peanuts. Okay, that's it for this first half of the News Gazette. I'm going to take a brief break and I will be right back with the second half for May 15th. See you in a bit.